You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Morning, everybody. It's good to see you here this morning. We want to welcome you here. I'm glad that you could join us this morning. In the year 1678, a man by the name of John Bunyan. Isn't Paul Bunyan the guy who chops down the trees? Yeah, okay. So, not Paul Bunyan, John Bunyan. Man, I always think, just try to be very dramatic when you start to tell your story. Never works out. Man, how do you recover from that? 1678, there was a Baptist preacher named John Bunyan, and he published a book. He wrote a book, and then he published it, and it was called Pilgrim's Progress. I'm sure many of you have read that book. It's really one of, apart from the Bible, it's one of the most widely read Christian books in history. The story begins with a man who John names Christian, and he's carrying an enormous burden strapped to his back. And he's John Bunyan describes him walking through life, bent over under the crushing weight of that load. He tries to ignore it. He tries to keep moving. He tries to live normally, but everywhere he goes, he carries around this burden with him. The burden goes with him, and people around him don't fully understand what he's doing and why he's carrying that around. And some people make fun of him. They mock him. Some people just tell him to stop worrying about it. Other people just pretend that Christian's burden isn't there. But the character in the book knows the truth. The burden is real. And the further that he travels, the heavier it becomes. And what makes the story powerful is that John Bunyan actually wrote this when he was sitting in a prison cell. And he understood what it felt like to be trapped and weighed down and desperate for freedom, really. And that's exactly the theme or the flavor of Romans chapter 7. That's where we find ourselves today. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest, if there were a Hall of Fame for believers, Paul would be in it, right? He would be the guy that we would want to, the human being that we would want to emulate more than anyone else, really, apart from Jesus himself. One of the greatest Christians who ever lived pulls back the curtain, his own personal curtain, and says, I have a burden that I cannot remove by myself. He describes this this battle, this war within himself, a battle between what he wants to do and then what he actually does. And those two things are very, very different. And we can see the battle when we look at Romans chapter 7. Paul describes this, it's almost like this weight that he can't seem to shake. And maybe that's, I don't know if you've ever taken the time to read through Romans chapter 7 before, but when you read it, it just seems so honest. And the reason why it feels that way is because deep down we all know what it feels like to walk through life with something, carrying something that is really heavy. To have a burden that we cannot shake, to have a burden that we cannot remove by ourselves. Romans chapter 7 talks about your personal burdens. the spiritual baggage, if you will. I don't know if you were here with us. It's about 12 years ago, actually. 12 years ago, we talked about, we did a series just specifically on Romans chapter 8. And we went all the way through it verse by verse. And we started in Romans chapter 7. And we talked about how God wants us to lose our luggage. I don't know if you remember that or not. But we talked about the spiritual baggage that we have. And I'm going to use that verbiage again today as we talk about Romans chapter 7. And the kind of baggage, the spiritual baggage, I guess, that is going to weigh you down as a person, that is going to essentially hold you back. The baggage that you try to hide from everybody else. You know what I'm talking about. The stuff that you don't want other people to see, that we, you know, when we come to church, we put on a brave front and a smile and you know, we try to hide that personal burden or that baggage that we're carrying. It's the baggage that, truthfully, even though you try to hide it, that others are actually more aware of it than you would care to think. It's the baggage that you have grown comfortable with. You're comfortable with it, and yet at the very same time, you are mortified by it. It's the habitual stuff that just gets in the way. It's a barrier between you and the Lord Jesus. You've carried it around with you for a very long time, and in some cases, you've carried it with you for a lifetime. And so this morning, what Paul is going to ask us to do in Romans chapter 7 is to identify that baggage, to evaluate that baggage, to give yourself a very honest self-evaluation. He is asking us to be honest with ourselves and with the Lord regarding the burdens that we carry. So if you haven't already done so, would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7? And as we do that, or before we do that, we're going to read the passage. Before we do that, why don't we just pray? Our God and Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would help us to be very honest with ourselves, that we would personally be honest with ourselves, that we would be honest with you, and that you would indeed convict us of the stuff that is getting in the way of us becoming more Christ-like, that we would, the things that are hampering our journey towards a deeper relationship with you. And God, as we personally deal with that, I pray that it would show in the lives of each and every one of us here at West End this morning, and that it would change the way we live at home, and that we, how we act at work or at school, or when we interact with our friends and our family. Father, I pray that this morning the truth of your word would just wash over us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a look at Romans chapter 7 with me. And we're going to read kind of the second part of the chapter. And then we'll make reference to the first part of the chapter as we go through it. Take a look at verse 14 with me. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14 says this: "For we know that the law is spiritual, But I am of the flesh, sold under sin, for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. So not exactly a pick-me-up, right? As we look at these verses, you can kind of see the frustration and the exasperation that Paul is writing with here. He is highly frustrated with himself. He's looking at himself and he does not like what he sees. He's doing his own self-evaluation, his own kind of reality check. And as he does, the Apostle Paul teaches us something that all of us better be pretty clear on if we ever hope to deepen our relationship with the Lord, to further our journey towards Christ likeness. And I want to show you maybe four things this morning that I just want to highlight from this passage that we read. The first thing that I want you to remember is, and this is probably good news. It is good news. The first thing that we need to understand, what Paul is going to tell us, is that everybody struggles with this. Everybody struggles with burdens or spiritual baggage. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter. If you are a human being and you are drawing breath this morning, you deal with spiritual baggage. I mean, take a look at verse 14 again. I'll just read it for you. Verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." So Paul says that he almost carries the idea of, he feels like he's imprisoned, that these are sins that he just can't get free of. And he's almost perplexed by it. He doesn't understand why he keeps doing the things that he's doing. Wouldn't you love to know what that is? Like, what is it that Paul, the apostle, the church planter, what does he struggle with? Some people read these verses and they conclude that Paul must be talking about a time before he knew the Lord Jesus. And, you know, I would say that Romans chapter 7 doesn't read that way. In this passage, Paul consistently uses the present tense. In the first 13 verses that we didn't read, you can read this for yourself, he uses the past tense. In other words, it seems that Paul is talking about a struggle that, in the verses that we read, he's talking about a struggle that has some sort of present reality to it, that he's struggling with at the time that he writes. Verses 7 and 8 kind of maybe give us a little bit of a picture of what he is dealing with. Verse 7 says, "What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet. If the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead." So he gives us a little bit of hint. Maybe he is struggling maybe with this whole idea of coveting. He was seeing somebody else who had something that he did not have, and he wanted that for himself. We know that Paul was kind of he had some kind of thorn in his flesh, maybe some kind of health issue that he was dealing with, and maybe he saw somebody else who was super healthy or super strong or whatever it was, and he looked at him and he said, "Why can't I be that way?" And he was coveting or whatever it was. We don't really need to belabor the issue, but in some way, Paul had a desire to acquire something that somebody else had. Okay, that was one of the things that he was dealing with. And it shouldn't surprise us. Paul was, the Bible describes Paul as this kind of really ambitious kind of guy. Galatians chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that before he was a Christian, he was advancing in Judaism beyond all the Jews of his age. He was like a super Jew. He was, he had this drive to succeed. And evidently, when he saw somebody who was ahead of him, he wanted that position for himself. And so the point here that I'm trying to make is that Paul is opening his own spiritual baggage, his own luggage, and he's seeing some of the things that maybe he doesn't like. He's saying that everybody struggles with some kind of burden, some kind of sin, some kind of baggage. And let's not make the mistake of focusing too much on what Paul's baggage was. Instead, let's take a very close look at our own baggage. Because one of the things that we actually try to do or we actually do is when we want to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, we focus on the burdens that other people are carrying, right? We've talked about that as we've gone through Romans. We've talked about the fact that we look down our nose. We certainly do it in church. We look down our nose at other people and we go, "Well, yeah, I'm sinful, but I'm not as sinful as that guy." Paul says, no, don't do that. Let's do an honest self-evaluation. We don't need to evaluate other people. That gets into the realm of judging, and we don't want to do that at all. Paul actually gives us a couple lists. He gives us a list back in Romans chapter 1. He also gives us a list in Galatians chapter 5. There are things that he describes like being self-centered, a life that is focused on pleasing yourself rather than glorifying God. He talks about sexual impurity. He talks about envy. He talks about pride. He talks about greed. He talks about a continual discontent with the things that we actually have. The list goes on and on and on and on. If you can read through Romans chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 5 and you can not, and you go, yeah, none of those really things, then you're doing pretty well. But I'm pretty sure that if you read really carefully through there, you're going to go, yeah, that's me. You're going to find something in that list that's in your personal inventory. And you may hear this, and be wondering why it is that we struggle with you know, with these burdens, with these things that we carry around with us, this sinful baggage. Why, when we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, why didn't it just all go away? Where did I, you know, pick this baggage up? Why am I carrying it around? Where did I accumulate all this? And the Apostle Paul actually goes on to answer these questions in the next verses. And he answers why we wrestle with our sin, with our baggage in the first place. Why do we carry this around? Well, Paul is going to give us a hint towards why we have these problems. And I would say the second thing that he wants us to see is this. Sinful baggage is caused by our sinful nature. It is caused by our sinful nature. Take a look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." So why do we have this problem? We have this problem because we have something inside of us that we were born with that is bent, that is wrong, that is broken. Each and every one of us, we are all broken inside. Paul says it very plainly in verse 18. In verse 18, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." That term, he is referencing here the sinful nature. We need to look at this idea of the sinful nature much more closely. We're going to look at it maybe as we go through Romans chapter 8 and 9 and 10. As we go through it, we're going to try to understand it a little bit better. But for this morning, I just want to remind you of a couple things. And I'm not trying to, I don't want to drag us down. Instead, I want us to feel that you're, more than anything else, what I want us to do as we evaluate ourselves and we take a close look at the things that we're carrying around, what I want us to do is to understand that each and every one of us is struggling with something. And that should encourage us that we're not alone in our struggles. Yeah, we all struggle with different things, but we all struggle. Everybody has this baggage. And it's caused by our sinful nature. This something that we are born with. The source of our sin, the source of our burden, the source of our baggage is our sinful nature. And I would just remind you about two things about the sinful nature. The first thing is this. The sinful nature is our natural human condition apart from Jesus Christ. And the Greek word that Paul uses here, it literally means flesh. He uses the term flesh. Some of our translations actually use the word flesh. We read that in verse 18. Flesh is a word that is used to talk about our humanity, right? It talks about who you are, your flesh, your sinful nature, who you are apart from Jesus, who you were born into this world. The sinful nature is not a specific sin. It is an inner orientation or a better word is inclination. It is an inner inclination towards ourselves. The sinful nature is essentially me or you trying to live your life independent of God. And the Bible says that everyone starts life out in a life that is dominated by the sinful nature. We referenced a long time ago, and in time since, we've talked about the idea of being our own little God, sitting on our own throne. We try to run our lives. We are fiercely independent as human beings, and we want to be in the ultimate place of authority in our own lives. The sinful nature is the part of us that says to God, thank you very much, but I'm just going to do it my way. So the sinful nature, or our sinful nature, is our human condition apart from Jesus Christ. The second thing about our sinful nature that I want us to understand is this. That if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the sinful nature is part of you, but it is not all of you. And I would say this too, it isn't even the best part of you. It's not the best part of you anymore. I know that because in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, it says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is good, but not the ability to carry it out. So Paul there is distinguishing himself. He's distinguishing between himself and his sinful nature. He's saying that there is nothing good in part of him, and what he's referencing there is the sinful nature, his flesh. There's nothing good in his own self, in his flesh. The Bible says that if you are a Christian, the day that you trusted Jesus Christ, you were made new, right? We talked about justification, we talked about the process of sanctification, how God is changing us. The day that we were justified, the day that we trusted Christ, we were made new. We got a new heart. We got a new start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So if you come to Jesus and you trust in him, God gives you a new heart. But here's the deal. You still carry over some leftovers. You still carry some baggage, some things from your old life. You are a new person, but the new, truest part of you wants to please God. But like Paul says, we can't always pull that off because we have some stuff that we still are carrying around. We have some stuff from our old lives, and that's the sinful nature. It's why we still struggle with sin. It's why the idea of sinless perfection, the fact that when we become believers that we don't struggle with sin anymore, that idea is so ludicrous. It's idiocy to think that we shouldn't struggle, and if we struggle with sin, then we're not really believers. That's not what the Bible teaches. Suffice to say, all of this can obviously lead to great frustration in the lives of believers, right? I mean, we all get frustrated when we don't deal with our sin properly. But here is Paul, this sincere Christ follower who wants to do what is good, but he is, at this point, completely frustrated and exasperated with himself. And if you go on in verses 21... And 22, it says, "For I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is right, evil lies close at hand, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being." But verse 23, "But I see in my members another war waging," another law, sorry, "waging war against the law of my mind and makes me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." So Paul kind of, you know, he just says, like, I want to do what is good, but I find myself, even though I want to do what is good, I find myself doing the complete opposite of the things that I want to do. Have we ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? Paul is frustrated, and he shows us that the sinful nature and the sinful baggage that we carry around, what it can do for us or what it can do to us. And then he moves on and he tells us about the third thing, about what our burdens can really do for us, our baggage. And that's the third thing. Sinful baggage is going to make us feel imprisoned. That's what he's saying here in verses 21 to 23. That's the language that Paul is going to use here, that we feel trapped sometimes, that we feel imprisoned. Paul says it's like there is this battle that is going on inside of him, and it seems like he is a prisoner. And do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you're imprisoned by the things that you're carrying around with you, the things that you struggle with, that you're tempted by, that you give into? Are you ever feel imprisoned by your lack of faith? You've been a believer for decades, but yet when it seems that whenever a big crisis comes along, your first inclination is just to doubt, and your faith seems to evaporate. You're prone to wander. You're prone to wonder where God is. Maybe your baggage is bitterness. And you would have to admit that there is someone, or there is something, or there are some people in your life that you have this burning ill will towards. And you just can't get past it. You know it's toxic. You know it's corrosive. You know that God doesn't want that. And you have prayed to ask God to take it away. But if you're honest with yourself, you're still carrying it around. Maybe it is a sense of greed, or maybe it is a sense of pride, or maybe it's lust, or whatever it is. What is it that is hurting you, and you can't seem to get by it? I'm not trying to bring it to the surface so that we all can see it. What I'm trying to do is to make each and every one of us do an honest self-evaluation this morning, to understand not only what it is, but to understand that it's heavy. And it is hard to drag that around with you. Sinful baggage makes us feel imprisoned and powerless and trapped. And all of this is, it seems like bad news, or, you know, and maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe it's, Claudette and I went to a spa this weekend, and there were a bunch of different pools and different temperatures. There was a hot tub, which I really enjoyed. And then you were supposed to go from the hot tub to this other pool that it actually had a sign. I don't even know why anybody went in it, because the hot tub said it was 104 degrees Fahrenheit. The next pool that you were supposed to go into was 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Half of what you were experiencing in the hot tub. And I went in and I said, nope, don't like this at all. And then I went back into the hot tub. But this is what the cold plunge, they call it. Why would you do this? Anyway, but the point that I'm trying to make, Romans chapter 7 is the cold plunge. It's a wake-up call You go in there and you go, oh yeah, okay, this is getting my attention. We have to understand what it is that God is trying to show us here. And if you just stay there and you recognize the baggage and you just kind of, well, you know, this is what I've been living with my whole life and I've carried around and I hate it, but I just got to keep doing it. You know, we could stay there forever. That's not where we want to stay. We want to move on. If we stay there, if we stay in our misery and our bitterness and our lust and our greed and our pride and all those things, if we stay there, it would seem pretty hopeless, wouldn't it? Really, why would we even be here? It's a waste of time if we're just going to be, well, this is the way we always live, so yeah, it's hopeless, but yeah, there's really no hope. Well, no, there is hope. And the first rays of hope cometh really at the end of chapter 7 in verses 24 and 25. Did you see it there? I mean, it says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, that's verse 25. Verse 24 says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to do it? It's not going to be me. I'm not going to be able to do it. But verse 25 says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So there is a little bit of hope here on the horizon. These are the verses that are going to lead us into chapter 8. And chapter 8 is a lot sunnier than chapter 7. They're going to point us towards hope, and they're going to give us a little bit of an inkling of where we're going. And here's what Paul is going to remind us, if I can paraphrase what Paul is saying here. Here's the thing. Sinful baggage is going to drive us to call for God's help. Paul calls himself in verse 24 a wretched man. And despite what society might say, recognizing ourselves as wretched is not really actually a bad thing. Because it means that we're actually being honest with ourselves. Until you're honest with yourself and you recognize yourself as wretched, your baggage is always going to be a problem. But Paul gives us help. He recognizes and he realizes that he is ever going to get free. He's going to need some help. He's going to need some help that is beyond himself. And then in verse 25, he finds that help is coming. And the mood changes from frustration and exasperation and groveling to gratitude. And he understands something very significant here. He says that if he is going to be... If there is going to be a rescue, if there is going to be a lightening of the load that he is carrying around with him, it's not going to come from himself. It's not himself solving the problem. It's going to have to come from God. God wants to be your rescuer. Can you hear this really clearly? God is going to bring rescue always through Jesus Christ. That's what he says in verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to God through Jesus Christ. And so deliverance is going to come from God through Jesus. The reason why Jesus came to earth was to rescue us, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should have life. We come to God through Jesus Christ, and deliverance is going to come through what Jesus did on the cross. And so as we close today, I want to just remind us of this one last thing. In Romans chapter 7, when Paul refers to Jesus, do you notice the last two things that he says. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And then what does he say? Our Lord. So what Paul is saying there, by intentionally using those, that verbiage, that phrase, he said Jesus is not coming to just be the Savior. He is coming to be our Lord. And if you want to get free of your burdens and your baggage, you not only come to Christ and say, Lord, help me out, but I'm just going to keep living my own way. You just remove the burden, but I'm not going to get off my throne. No, you come to him and you say, Lord, rescue me, and I'm going to go your way, not my own. You're going to be my Lord. Not my flesh, not my sinful nature. You will be my Lord. We talked about it a few years ago when we talked about Palm Sunday, and Tim Keller used the idea of somebody coming over to your house or you going to visit somebody, and they come to the door and they say, Myron, you can come in, but stay out freezing. Only part of you can come in, the rest of you has to stay out. That's what we say when we say, you know, God, save me, but I'm just going to keep doing the things that I want to do. You can't have it both ways. If you want Jesus Christ to be part of your life, he has to be your Savior, but he also has to be your Lord. You can't say, come in, Jesus Christ. Stay out, Lord. You can't have it both ways. True faith is coming to Jesus and trusting him to free you from your sin and to give you new life. But it also means following him as your Lord. And that's what Paul is going to tell us in the next chapter, in chapter 8. He's going to give us the rest of the equation. He's going to say freedom comes from our God through Jesus Christ and by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is really what makes real what Jesus has made available. I read a story this week about a little girl in an airport who was struggling with her oversized suitcase. She was struggling with it. It was one of those huge bags with wheels that kept tipping over. She was trying with all her strength to drag it through the terminal. Every few feet, it would fall sideways and she would stop. She was frustrated. She would struggle and put it upright again, and people would walk around her, you know, busy doing what they could, and nobody stopped to help her. Finally, her dad, who had actually been watching from a short distance away, walked over and said, sweetheart, why are you carrying that all by yourself? And she looked up into her dad's eyes and she said, I just didn't want to bother you, Dad. And her father smiled, picked up the bag, and with one hand and with the other, grabbed her hand, and they walked through the terminal together towards the gate. That's Romans chapter 7. That's Romans chapter 7 turning into Romans chapter 8. Many of us are exhausted because we have been trying to drag our baggage through. And the truth is that God never intended that we drag that baggage or we carry those burdens alone. And maybe the deepest tragedy is not that we have the burdens. The tragedy is that we have stopped bringing it to the Father. But the good news of the gospel, the story of God sending his son and him going to the cross, the good news of the gospel is this. Jesus did not come merely to point at your luggage. He came to carry what you cannot. The cross is where Jesus took the full weight of your sin, your shame, your guilt, your bondage upon himself so that we could finally walk without baggage, without the burden, so that we could walk in freedom. And so maybe what the Father is asking you what the Father is asking you today is this. Why are you carrying those burdens alone? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would remind us of this passage this week. I pray that that we wouldn't forget. And not only would we not forget, Father, I pray that you would help us to just give this over to you, to stop being frustrated, to stop being exasperated, to stop trying to do it all ourselves, but rather to give it over, to give it over, to give it over to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.